couple of years ago, there was an album collection put out on CD of Elvis Presley's greatest hits. And that album was number one on the sales charts for some weeks. The unusual thing is that that happened. Those greatest hits and that album were number one on the sales charts 25 years after Elvis's death. In spite of his enormous success, Elvis was, according to his friends, an unfulfilled and unhappy man. He died of obesity and drug dependency at the ripe old age of 42. In an interview with his wife Priscilla, she said this about him. Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he was not fulfilling it. And so he would go onto the stage and perform where he didn't have to think about it. Elvis did not understand what his life's purpose was. In a very real sense, despite his fame and his success, he was lost. Today we continue our 40 days of purpose journey, and we look today at God's fourth purpose for your life. You were shaped for serving God. Elvis Presley felt like he was here to do something, to serve, to preach, to save, to do something with his life. He just couldn't quite figure it out, his wife said. I don't want us to be in the same position. We find this fourth purpose for our life stated in the second chapter of Ephesians. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. You were made to make a contribution, not just to consume. God made you so that you can make a difference. And what matters, as we've spoken of before, what matters is not how long you live, but how you live. What matters is not the duration of your life, but the donation of your life. The Scriptures tell us over and over again, Old Testament and New, we were created for service. We were saved to serve. We are gifted to serve. We are shaped to serve. We are commanded by God to serve. And whenever God gives us an assignment, God never gives it to us without equipping us to fulfill it. Even in the midst of the incredible distress that he experienced, Job said to God, "Your hands shaped me, and you made me." Well, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren has taken that word shape, and he has attached to it five concepts, five ways that God shapes us to serve him. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, experiences. Shape. Those five things make you, and God uniquely shapes you using them. Different from anybody else in the world, but made for a purpose. This morning, I am not going to go into detail and deal in any detail with those five things, because you're going to be reading about them in the Purpose-Driven Life this week. You'll be talking about them some in the groups with which you meet. But I do want you to notice one important thing. God made you unique. That's not news to us. We all know and understand that. God shaped us in a unique and singular way. You're not like anyone else who is, who ever has been, or ever will be. But What you need to keep in mind is that uniqueness is not for your benefit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Each of us should use whatever gift we've received to make a lot of money. Isn't that what it says? No, of course not. We are to use whatever gift we've been given to serve God, to serve others. Your talents, your shape is not for your benefit. Do you remember the very first line that you read in the Purpose Driven Life book? The very first line on the first page said, "It's not about you." Life and ministry and Christian faith are not about you. Your purpose in life is to be what God made you to be. Your purpose in life is to fulfill that for which God made you. And so, my fourth purpose in life is to serve God by serving others. We were not put here just to take up space, just to consume and get a free ride through life. We are here living on this earth to serve God. And the way you serve God is by serving other people. In the Scripture, again, both Old and New Testament, there's a word for that. And the word is ministry. Like worship and fellowship and discipleship, though, our first three purposes, our fourth purpose, ministry, is misunderstood. Because as we heard with the children's message this morning, when we say the word minister, we typically think first and only of people who do particular things and look particular ways. People who wear funny-looking collars or strange-looking robes. People who stand in front of a church week by week. But the New Testament teaches us that every believer is a minister. Not just those who lead the community of faith, but every believer is a ministry. Not every believer is a pastor, but every believer is a minister. Ministry means simply using my shape to help somebody else in the name of God. That is the definition of ministry. The good news is that God not only created us for service, but He gave us a model. You were created to be like Christ. And what Christ did while He was on earth, you and I are to do while we are on earth. In the 20th chapter of Matthew, Jesus Himself said it. Your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. Lots of us spend incredible amounts of time searching for our purpose in life. We search for self-esteem. We search for self-worth. We look for significance. We want to feel good about ourselves. But we tend to look in all the wrong places. You don't get your self-worth from success, because no matter how successful you are, somebody else is going to be more successful. You don't get your self-esteem from your status, because no matter how highly regarded you are, someone else is going to be better thought of than you. You don't get your self-esteem from your salary, because no matter how much money you make, somebody else is going to make lots more. And chances are, they're going to make it just by playing ball. You get your self-esteem from service. This is what Jesus told us over and over again, not only with His words, but with His life. You get your self-esteem from serving. Jesus told us that in order to realize your life's meaning, in order to save your life, you must lose your life. You give it away, and in giving it away, it is returned to you in even greater joy and abundance. The greatest thrill in life is to be used by God, to be used in serving God's purposes. That is life's greatest joy and greatest thrill. I promise. So what does it take to be used by God and to serve as Jesus served? There are three things, and I'm going to move through them with some speed, I hope. There's just never enough time on Sunday mornings. But there are three things. First of all, serving like Jesus means being available. One day Jesus was going down to Jericho and some blind men called to him. Two blind men shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Notice the important part of that brief encounter was this. Jesus stopped. He was willing to be interrupted. He was available. Do you remember my story a few weeks ago about the brick? Don't move through life so quickly that someone needs to throw a brick at you to get your attention. If you didn't hear that brick story, ask any of the kids in this church. They'll tell you. If you want to be used by God, if you want to serve God, you must be willing to be interrupted. Most of Jesus' ministry, most of his miracles happened because he was interrupted. All the people he healed, the blind man, the lame man, the sick people, the paralyzed man, the dead child, all of them, Jesus was on his way somewhere else and they encountered him and stopped him and interrupted him. His first miracle, he was interrupted at a wedding feast. His second miracle, he was interrupted on the way to Galilee. It says, Jesus stopped. He was available, willing to be interrupted by those persons and those needs that came to him at unexpected, unpredictable times. Do you know John Wesley's motto? Do all the good you can by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Maybe you can memorize that and remember it. I can't. And what is it that keeps us from being available? There are three things that get in the way of our being interruptible and available as God needs us to be. Common barriers. Number one is self-centeredness. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. One of the most self-centered people in the Scripture said that, the Apostle Paul, because he overcame his self-centeredness. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. He was preaching to himself as much as he was speaking to us. Whenever you see a need right in front of you, God is giving you the opportunity to practice serving. You see, the number one enemy of compassion is busyness. We just get too busy. And because I'm so busy, I don't have time to serve. I've got my agenda, my plans, my dreams, my goals, my ambitions. I've got things that I've got to do. I've got my own life going on here, you know. So don't disturb me with the needs of other people. Don't interrupt me from the path that I'm taking. The first barrier to being available as God needs us to be available is self-centeredness. The second one is perfectionism. We want everything to be just like we want it to be, just so. When it's all right, when everything settles down, when I get my house in order and my career in order and my family going, and so then I'll have time to serve. When everything else, I've got too much to do with my job right now, I've got to worry about so many things, when it's all settled down, then I'll serve. The wise writer of Ecclesiastes said, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Real servants, Christ-like servants, do the best they can with what they have for Jesus Christ today. They don't wait. Self-centeredness, perfectionism, and the third barrier to being available is materialism. And it's the big one. Materialism is the third thing that keeps us from being able to serve. Jesus said, and you know his saying very well, in that no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. The fact of the matter is, we get so busy taking care of things that we don't have time to take care of people. The things of our life consume all our energy, and we don't have any left for the people around us. Serving means being available and overcoming those barriers to availability. The second thing that serving means, the second way that Jesus calls us to serve, is by being grateful. You are available, and then you are grateful. To serve like Jesus, we must serve gratefully. Grateful to have the opportunity to serve. Grateful to have the relationship with God through Christ that gives us the opportunity to serve. There's a story in the scripture of Jesus. You know the story very well. His friend Lazarus had died, and Jesus went there knowing of his friend's death, and as he approached the tomb, he stopped and he prayed, and he said this: "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here." In other words, I need them to know that I am grateful to you for all that you have given to me thus far, for all that you have accomplished through me. I am grateful for all that. Jesus had an attitude of gratefulness, thankfulness in everything that he did. He always started with gratefulness. He was grateful in the good times, but in the tough times. He was grateful when he was praised, but also when he was criticized. He was grateful when things were good, and then when things were not easy in his ministry. That was the attitude with which Jesus started everything. Gratitude. Serve God, not out of a sense of duty, that this is what I must do for any reason, but serve God with a sense of delight. This is the opportunity that I have to do something on God's behalf, and I am grateful for the relationship that I have with this God and for the opportunity I have to serve this God's purposes with my own meager life. Not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of opportunity, we serve. We serve him gratefully because he's given life to us, and he's given life back to us in Jesus Christ. He saved us, and out of our gratefulness of what God has done and continues to do for us, we serve him. There are, of course, things that get in the way of gratefulness, and there are many of those. Let me pull out just a few of them. One of the barriers to being grateful, and it is a remarkable barrier, especially for us 21st century Americans, is entitlement. A sense of entitlement. It is a plague upon us and our culture at this time in our history. Because entitlement is the sense, the belief, that we deserve what we have. We deserve to be who we are and where we are and what we are. We deserve to have what we have because we are especially deserving and good and remarkable people. The entitlement mentality banishes gratitude. Because we are deserving, we have no need to be grateful. The first barrier to living gratefully is that sense of entitlement. The second barrier to living and serving God gratefully is comparing and criticizing. When you compare yourself to others, when you criticize others, that is a barrier that gets in the way of being grateful. Paul counsels the Christians in Rome, "Who are you to criticize someone else's servant? Only God will determine whether this servant has been successful or not." We are all God's servants. All Christ's servants. Competition with each other in service, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense between us as individuals. It doesn't make sense even between churches. To compete with one another in service doesn't add up. We are on the same team. We have the same goal. We are all working together to fulfill God's purposes, to make God look good in our world. The third thing that gets in our way of serving gratefully is wrong motivations. Entitlement, comparing and criticizing, wrong motivations. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed this issue. When you do good deeds, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't be rewarded by your Father in heaven. The wrong motivation of showing off. Self-promotion and servanthood don't mix. We serve to get others to like us. We serve to be admired. We serve to achieve our own goals. We serve to provide us with a bargaining chip to use with God. That's the struggle of service. Service is selfless. Giving our life away in order to fulfill God's purposes. So serving like Jesus means, number one, being available. Serving as Jesus served and as God calls us to serve means, number two, being grateful. And third, serving like Jesus means being faithful. available, grateful, faithful. It means you don't give up. You keep on going. You don't quit in the middle of your assignment. At the end of Jesus' ministry on earth, he said this, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." And there was in Jesus some acknowledgement and some satisfaction that he had been able, by the grace of God, to complete the work that he was sent to do. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that much of what we do day to day doesn't really matter. It's not going to matter next week or next year or next decade. It's certainly not going to matter in eternity. But any time you're serving Jesus, no matter how small the thing is that you do, it matters. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, Paul says, confident that nothing you do for him will be a waste of time or effort. Mysteriously, miraculously, in God's economy, there are no small good deeds. Everything matters. There is nothing so little that it is not significant. In God's book, there is no little service. If you learn to be a servant of God, however, you must learn the difference between significance and prominence. They are not the same things, and we, again, in our 21st century culture, we tend to get them confused, significance and prominence. On my body, my nose is quite prominent. It's not all that big, but it's not all that small either. But it's noticeable. It's one of the things that you can see if you look at me. My nose is prominent. But I could lose my nose and still live the rest of my life. Because while it's prominent, it's not significant. On the other hand, there is within me a heart and a liver, not very prominent. You can't see them. You can't hear them at work. But if I were to lose them, I'd be dead. A lot of us think that if something is given a lot of visibility, if it's something we hear about and talk about and we see the image, then it's the most important. But that's not true. There is a difference between prominence and significance. And in fact, Jesus tells us, the Gospels tell us, that the stuff behind the scenes is most important. The parts of your body that you don't see are the ones that really make your life happen. The same is true in the body of Christ. It all matters. Be careful to note the difference between significance and prominence. It may be the case that we don't see all the time how the small things that we do add up to big consequences, but they do. Some of you undoubtedly are thinking, well, you know, in a church of this size, look at all these people. And this is the second time we've done this today. Look at all these people. Look at all that goes on here. It doesn't need my help. There isn't anything that I have or that I can do that would be a worthy contribution to an enterprise this large and this important. Well, spend a day with us. Either Pastor Candy or I, we'll show you a couple of thousand things that people can do here to meet needs in this church and in this community and in this country. Because there are always more needs to be met than there are people who are willing to get off their seat and say, "I was shaped to serve Christ." Have you ever wondered why you're here at First Church? I'll tell you why. You're here at First Church because God placed you here. God called you here. God sent you here, knowing that you were shaped to serve Him. And there is something that you are able to be, something that you are able to do, something that you are able to give that God is calling you to be and to do and to give here. He did not bring you here just to sit and soak and enjoy. He brought you here to serve. And there is something that you have, some background, some talent or skill or ability, some contact, some network, some interest, some hobby, whatever. God brought you here for a reason. And if you are here listening to these words, you are doing so because God has in it a message and a mission for you. God has in it a way to fulfill the purpose of your life. One day you will stand before God and God will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? The background, the abilities, the talents, the experiences, the freedom, the education, the family experiences. What did you do with the shape that I gave you? Well, God, I was a little busy with my ambitions and plans. I had so much to do, I just never got around to anything else. Is there anything in your schedule, day by day, week by week, anything that you're doing where you're giving back, you're giving unselfishly, or are you too busy? Are you waiting for things to slow down? Do you have other priorities? One day, the Emperor Napoleon showed his generals a map of China, and he said, there lies a sleeping giant. If ever it wakes up, China will shake the world. Well, every day when I step into this building, I look around and I say to myself, here lies a sleeping giant. If everybody who came here served here, what kind of enormous response and reaction would we find in Mechanicsburg, in Cumberland County, in Pennsylvania, and the nation and the world? I make no apology in saying to you that the most important thing you'll ever do with your life is to serve God in ministry. It's more important than your career, far more important than your hobbies. To that end, I hope you will take a great deal of pride today in walking through the displays in our gym to see in that ministry's fair the things that you are doing and that you, by your presence and your gifts, are making possible here. Because there are represented not only the things that are going on inside of First Church and the ways that we are praising and serving God here, but the ways that we are extending ourselves and the gospel of Christ well beyond this place and literally around the world. I hope that when you see that, you will first of all be pleased at what you are participating in, that this great church is doing all that it is doing because of you and your presence. Second, I hope that you will find something there that inspires you in a way that it hasn't before. I hope that you'll see something that will make you want to be a part of it in a way that you haven't yet done. But third and most important, the thing that I hope you see in the ministry's fair is what's missing. I hope that you will look around and not find what you're looking for, because that will be a clear word to you that God is calling you, God is speaking to you, God is encouraging you to step out in a new way, to begin, because you know, I'm convinced that for all this church's greatness, for all that goes on here and all the good that is accomplished in and through you, First Church, I am convinced that God has not yet begun to use us in the ways God designs to do so. There are far more remarkable, far greater things, more far-reaching things than we have yet imagined. And God is speaking the inspiration for just those things to some of you sitting here right now, waiting for you to tell the rest of us about it and to encourage and inspire this church to step out of the box, to step out of the boat, to courageously go where no church has gone before. You were shaped to serve Christ. There is no better, no greater, no more profound thing than you can do with your life than to give yourself in service to His church and to God's purposes. And God's promise is that when we do so, when we give our lives away just so in service, we receive our lives back, filled with greater promise, greater joy than we have yet imagined. Let it be so among us and among all God's people. You were put on earth here to serve. Amen.